It goes without saying to keep all those who have been in the pathway and are still in the pathway of lean in your prayers.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. You can tell by my voice, still a little bit nasal. I'm feeling better, getting stronger every day. Whatever hit me this week hit hard, but not long. And once I can get some of this behind me, I'm going to feel a whole lot better. So many things to be done this coming week. Some of the things I really wanted to do this week that got pushed off. But it reminded me, and I'll share this thought with you. There are times you need to take some time to get rest. And I have been negligent at times. I keep pushing myself. And that's how you get your immune system weak. Couple that with some of the stuff we've been going through health-wise, losing a lot of sleep, and it adds up. But I want to thank you for your prayers, and enough said about that. I want to move on to today's topics. I will wait till next week before I talk about Hurricane Helene and the devastation that it caused. We can wait on that. I'll let those that do the news better than I do on the scene give you those reports. But the one thing I'm going to make you mindful of is don't fall for the trap that these storms are bigger and worse and badder because of some kind of man-made climate change and CO2 gases and what have you. I've been around Florida for like a quarter century. And I have people that I know that have been there for a half a century or getting close to a century in some cases that can tell you how things were long before the population explosion, long before climate change was a thing. And the evidence is there that massive storms have hit that peninsula called Florida for thousands of years. And those tropical waves will either be created coming off the west coast of Africa or, oftentimes, as in the case of Helene, right there at the entrance to the Gulf of Mexico off Cancun. This has been going on. This is nothing new. We heard this 20 years ago that all the storms would be worse and worse every year moving forward, and it didn't happen for 10 years. Nothing happened after Hurricane Katrina. 10 years went quiet. And we were told by the climate experts of the day to expect bigger and badder starting immediately next year and every year thereafter. We're all going to die because of man-made global warming, which then turned into climate change. And honestly, I have no idea what they're going to turn it into next. I really don't. And not a week goes by that I don't see some story about some extreme weather thing caused by man. And like I say, I'll spend more time with this next week, but I just want to give you a real quick analysis. I've got this one, pardon me for putting it this way, I got this clown, goes by the name of Jonas the Prophet, or that's what he says, he is a prophet, fake prophet I might add, climate change alarmist, believes in the Gaia God of the Earth. That's all I can tell you. We're talking about a false prophet of a satanic doctrine of earth worship. Always trying to point out how climate change is only man-made. That the climate never changed before mankind came along. It was just steady and perfect. And how delusional somebody could be. The evidence is not there to back that up at all. But we are told by MSNBC and all the mainstream media that it's mankind doing all this. And yet you can go back and see history that goes into the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, massive storms, long before we had weather radar and things to know. We back in the 1800s, we didn't really have any idea of how many tropical storms were out there in the Atlantic that never made landfall. There are a couple out there right now that will never make land. But they're out there. And this goes on year in and year out and has for centuries, long before mankind and global warming. Even the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, has to get into the climate change nonsense. I guess if you want to be in good stead with a corrupt United States and world government, you got to believe in the religion of climate change. And they're worrying about the various environmental impact of the temperatures just skyrocketing somewhere in the future. And they have this piece entitled Projection of Extreme Temperature-Related Deaths in the United States. And they're talking about what they believe are going to be this increased number of deaths because of, well, essentially global warming. We can't use that term anymore because we haven't warmed in 20-some-odd years. Really, we haven't. And they talk about the study they're making on mortality and the temperature data. Extreme temperature-related deaths in the contiguous United States are projected to increase. And it's all going to happen starting in, you know, around 2040 to 2065. And of course, it boils down to that we have to find a way to mitigate this adverse health outcome of extreme temperature. We have to do something about changing the climate. Now, I don't know about you. The United States could go to carbon zero or carbon negative tomorrow morning. Shut everything down. I mean, just get rid of all of us. Kill all the cows. Kill all the people. Wipe everything out. It's not going to change anything. Nations like China will continue to emit all the gases and CO2 and carbon into the air they want to. And who's going to stop them? For every ton of carbon the United States no longer puts into the atmosphere, China puts 3 new tons in the air. Because as we cease manufacturing here, they just gear it up over there. We're not making anything better on that front, and we never will. I've got a piece of paper that I keep in my desk drawer. It is a long and lengthy list of every failed climate prophecy over the past 65, 70 years. Every one of them. Every major prophecy that was supposed to have occurred by now never has. And yet somehow we are to believe them this time. This time they've got it right. This time we know what the weather's going to be like in 50 years from now. We don't even know what the weather's going to be like where I live in 3 days from now. And even when they think they do, I can tell you half the time they're wrong. My wife will tell me, oh, I'm looking at the weather right now, and this weekend or next weekend or whatever the day is, the weather's going to be rainy. And I would say, don't count on it. And the day comes and we have sunshiny skies and no rain at all. Or days where there's supposed to be sunny skies, it's raining. When you live in the mountains, you learn one thing. Weather forecasting is nothing but flipping coins and guessing, because even the best meteorologists can't predict the subtle changes that occur rapidly and without any warning. And so we are supposed to now be really concerned about an increased number of deaths because of climate change. Well, the truth is, if you do the research, more people are killed by extreme cold than extreme heat. We know that. We know that. And I love how they look at they always narrow down the window of the rising and lowering temperatures. And I could have told you in looking at this data, like between 1979 and the year 2000, how temperatures were going up. Now, and they stop at the year 2000. You want to know why? Because they've remained stable. When I was growing up as a kid in Long Island, I would remember the cool evenings in the summertime near the water. And I always remarked, you know, it was so pleasant and warm. And then after sundown, the temperatures began to cool and a nice gentle breeze would come across that bay. You didn't need air conditioning at all at night, not back in those days. And there was a man that my grandfather knew, lived there in Port Washington. And I would guess this is in the, you know, late 1960s, maybe early 1970s. He was around 90 years of age. So he was born, he'd been living there literally since the 1890s or 1900. And he was talking about how hot and terrible it was in the 1930s, how the nighttime temperatures and humidity were literally unbearable in the 1930s, and how when we got through the 1940s and 50s, it started to cool down, and we were enjoying this period of cooler seasonal weather for ages. And then it started to go back up, and many of the old timers would say, well, this is more like we were used to 30 years ago. It goes up and down in cycles. And so climate change is really one of the things they use to control. Need a reason to do something? Make it climate change. I mean, we got to protect the environment. That food you're eating, it's causing climate change. That car you're driving, it's causing climate change. And if we don't do something about climate change, the world is going to just become a ball of fire. I can remember many years ago, Rush Limbaugh, whether you like him or not, had a guy that did some parody songs. Now, this one goes back over 20-some-odd years. And I want you to listen to this little song, a parody song from 20-some-odd years ago, and tell me, are they still shrieking the same noise today?
The earth is a precious thing because of man. It's warming. Earth's temperature has risen half a degree higher. So obviously the world will soon be a ball of fire. Our whole world will be a burning ball of fire. Polar bears drown, drown as the seas get higher. As it burns, 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 the earth on fire. The taste of fame is sweet. Without this gig, who'd listen to me? So change your ways, every man and child. Oh, before the fire goes wild, our whole world will be a burning ball of fire. Polar bears drown, drown as the seas get higher. As it burns, 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 the earth on fire, a ball of fire. Our whole world will be a burning ball of fire. Polar bears drown, drown as the seas get higher. As it burns, 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 the earth on fire.
Listen, I know I could dedicate an entire program just to the global warming hoax and scam that it is. And I know that it upsets some people when I call it that. But I'm old enough to remember warmer and cooler times. The education system has been, well, taken over. And if you're a big company wanting to survive in a global landscape, then you must abide by the global mindset and the global rules. And if they say you must be dealing with sustainable things for climate change, then you deal with sustainable things, whatever it is, to feed the god of climate change. The Earth's temperatures and climate will change. It has been doing so for millennia. That much we know. You realize that within the last 1,000 years, maybe a little longer, that there were places in England that used to have some of the most beautiful vineyards to grow grapes. They can't do it now because it's too cold. The weather is not conducive as it once was. Certain kind of farming that occurred in parts of Northern Europe that don't occur anymore once did, because the overall climate has changed. Now, did it get colder? Did it get warmer? I can remember 1970 being told we're going to freeze to death. And it was all mankind's fault. If we didn't amend our ways and have landfills and a bunch of other stuff overnight and start recycling everything, that we would freeze to death. Well, I guess we must have done too good of a job. Now we're going to burn to death. I'm sorry, but I'm not buying it anymore. There was a time that I would have somewhat believed this. But I watch on how many other fronts these same individuals lie to you and me and everybody around us. It's like the boy that cried wolf. How many times do I have to hear this nonsense repeated over and over again that doesn't come true? And why would I want to have a reason to believe them now? If these climate frauds have been wrong for over a half century, what makes them right now about what's going to happen 50 years from now? And so many of these, when you listen to the likes of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and anybody on the left, they talk about the existential threat of climate change and it's going to happen. And if we don't do something now, our grandchildren are going to burn to death or some such nonsense. And yet, this is pushed on our children by those that we place in authority. In putting this episode together, I know I spent a lot of time on climate, and I really had no intention of doing that, but with what's happened in Florida, into Georgia, Alabama, heading toward Tennessee, parts of North Carolina, I needed to make mention of it. What it boils down to from a globalist point of view is having something to control you. There are several things the globalists need in order to gain full control of everything. Your obedience and your compliance is number one. People like myself and many of you were not always compliant to do silly and stupid things just because some so-called expert tells us to. I knew back in 2020 from the work that I was doing, the idea of wearing a face diaper was kind of a silly notion to stop a virus. But there, millions upon millions of people here in the United States and Canada and around the world dutifully put on their face diapers. We were told a miracle elixir had been developed to stop the virus, an mRNA vaccine. And in spite of all the experts saying not so fast, millions upon millions of people were coerced into rolling up their sleeves to take a shot that never stopped you from getting or spreading COVID-19. So what was the point? I have demonstrated time and time again on this program that even the lie about it reduces your chance of dying or hospitalization was not even true as well. Because about the time that the vaccines rolled out, a new variant of the virus came out called Omicron. Omicron tended to be much milder, even though more infectious. And so we didn't have the surge on the hospitals. We never really did. And we were led to believe that the vaccine had lowered all this. I can remember the experts telling us, get the vaccine, you'll never get COVID. How many of you heard that? then the news media had to admit that there were a handful of, you know, breakthrough cases, but super, super rare. Get vaccinated anyway. And then months later, when it became apparent that was not true, it would still get vaccinated to make the symptoms milder. How many times does your government have to lie to you before you realize that our government is full of liars? How many more times do they have to pull the wool over your eyes, take money out of your pocket, do things behind your back before you stop trusting them on everything? During a 1984 interview, a KGB informant from back in the days of the old Soviet Union, his name was Yuri Bezmenov, and he explained the four stages of a communist takeover of a country. There's a documentary that came out called The War on Children, and there are many that believe that we are in that final stage. It's called the normalization stage. There's a war on children that exposes the ongoing battle for control of the next generation and their minds. And one way to do that is to sexualize children. This involves everything from gender and transgender ideology, homosexuality. All of this is embedded into their minds to alter their reality. And honestly, what we're really dealing with here, we're dealing with a cult. Whether you like this publication or not is immaterial. I happen to like it. The Epoch Times serialized an adaptation from the Chinese book of how the specter of communism is ruling our world. And in that adaptation of that book, they describe how communism aims to abolish the traditional family, promote promiscuity, and sexual liberation. Now, let's think back. When I was a youngster, a lot of the sexual revolution was really kicking off into high gear. Now, we've known there have been some, shall I say, catty folks out there for ages. I mean, this goes back to biblical times. But the sudden mass acceptance. How many of you remember like a song by Stephen Stills, Love the One You're With? Doesn't matter to make a commitment anymore. Just, you know, hey, do it with the one you're with. If it feels good, do it. Everything from taking drugs to having sex with strangers became normalized starting in the 1960s. It took another 25, 30 years to begin to normalize homosexuality. But in our culture, they have done that. It was 9 years ago. Think about this. 9 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled for same-sex marriage. I watched this occur in my lifetime. As a young teenager, watching the hippie generation, this hippie generation, over time, controlled the levers of government and took over most of education. There are a number of steps. The demoralization, I mean, we've been sowing the seeds forever, and you always reap what you sow. Now, when it comes to the war on children, this has been a very gradual process, and you had to set the ground up to do this. Education had to be taken over. In our public schools, for the most part, in universities, that has been done. So over a period of generations and time and decades, standards are lowered. Then we start this process of demoralization, followed by destabilization. Then you need a crisis, and then you can normalize things you would never do. This has been going on for quite a long time. When you think about it, you need to have the destruction of the family in order to have a global government. So you have to abolish the traditional family. You have to promote promiscuity. You have to have sexual liberation. In other words, as what we saw beginning in the 1960s. And this is how families have been destroyed in here in the West, in the United States, in Canada. I'm old enough to kind of remember but didn't understand at the time Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. Lyndon Johnson's Great Society is the satanic society that communism needs. It forced more and more people to be more and more dependent upon the government, and the family was gradually being destroyed. I can remember by the 1980s and 90s a new term that had come into our regular vocabulary, that being the latchkey child. You know, the one where both now mom and dad worked, and the kid came home to an empty house to fend for themselves. In my time growing up, I guess I was one of the last generation where most mothers tended to stay at home during the day and the fathers worked and somehow made enough money to support a home, a car, and all the necessities. The Great Society kept needing more tax money, so eventually mom had to work. Then the idea of daycare came along. You remember the big mantra about daycare? So you don't feel guilty, just spend more quality time, not quantity. It's just the quality of time that counts. The problem is, over time, your child sleeps one-third of the time and they spend half of their time literally in the hands of somebody else. Parents' influence over children declined. Worn-out parents stopped going to church. Baby boomers trying to build their careers thought less of God and more about their God of money, and their children paid a price. I see many people that I know. Oh, their kids will have a fine wedding. But those kids do not have a faith in Jesus Christ because their parents gave it up years ago. There's nothing important about it. They're into the things of this world. Our governments, our schools, even many fake religious leaders, they're nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing, seeking to devour you and I. Now, when I get back on the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about this. I will tell you today, I'm feeling better, but boy, what you don't know is how many times I've had to pause to cough. It's the kind of clean-out cycle when you've had what I've had. I feel better. But I just pray for the endurance to get through this program today. With that said, we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Still struggling a little bit with the voice, getting over whatever this is I had this week. And so your prayers are always appreciated. Hopefully, as we get into the next week, we'll be feeling better. Keep the people that have been impacted by Helene in your prayers over the next day or two as the remnants will continue tracking north and then northwest. It's still not over. And for those that were seriously impacted, they're going to need your help and support. So pray about that as well. Before I get back to a topic that is near and dear to my heart, identifying some of these false teachers and preachers, I want to share a story that is kind of good news. And this one comes from Ontario, Canada. And the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, expressed his objection to a field trip that was organized by some Toronto District School Board members. And basically, everybody was told, like the parents, that this is going to be about water contamination. In other words, you know, a field trip about keeping our water clean. Now, what parent could obviously object to that kind of a field trip? But it turned out it was not that at all. It was actually a pro-Palestinian protest, complete with chanting anti-Israel slogans. Now, Premier Doug Ford said it's disgraceful, and you're trying to indoctrinate our kids. That's what I've been telling you. Public schools in the West are now just indoctrination centers for an ideology, because education, it started at the college level, then into high schools and down to middle and elementary schools. Education, for the most part, in the public realm has been co-opted by the unions and the worst of the worst. As he said, he thought it was disgraceful trying to indoctrinate the kids. They really should be in a classroom learning the basics like reading, writing, spelling, arithmetic, everything. But instead, the Toronto District School Board and the teachers wanted to bring them down to a pro-Palestinian rally to have them support the Palestinian cause and show disdain for Israel. Now, Doug Ford said something I don't fully agree with. He said, and I don't paint a broad brush, I agree with that on all the teachers. But he claims it's a minority of the teachers, and I would kind of disagree with that. And he says it's the same on the university campus. It's just a handful. Here in the United States, just look at the politics of those that are in charge on a university campus. Literally 90% plus lean either Democrat or very much to the left, even to socialism. And so, no, I don't buy that particular line that it's just a minority. You know, it's the majority. And it all starts with your school boards. I don't care where you live. If you have an elected school board, it's time you find out where they stand. Because, and by the way, there's something going on in Florida that you need to know about if you listen to this program in Florida. Up until now, a school board race was nonpartisan. It was so difficult to find out where anybody really stood on any particular issue. And many people that have run for school board, and I can attest to this, living in Florida for as many years as I have, you don't know what some of these people really stand for, and they do a great job of cleaning up their past, so you don't know when they run for school board. Now, you'll need to reveal your party and your politics if you're running for school board. I think that's a good thing. I want to know as much as I can about that person. We are entrusting our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren to in their education. Why should this be hidden? And I know why and the only ones objecting to this are the ones from the extreme left. They don't want to reveal who they really are. They don't want to let you know that they're nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing when they run for school board. And then these school boards hire administrators and principals who then hire the teachers that instruct your children. Now, allow me to change gears here just a little bit. I want to give you some information that you can use and help you in understanding that it's not just your public schools that are being infiltrated. It's not just the medical community and the big corporations that are being pushed into some pretty sad things. Even so-called parts of the church are in big trouble. There's a organization called Revoice. Revoice. And it is a conference. And the Revoice conference is a coalition of so-called gay Christians who gather annually to prop up their status as outspoken homosexuals and promote the gay agenda. They want full acceptance in all the churches in the United States, all denominations. And what's really frightening to me is that Revoice has been endorsed by a professor at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is a Southern Baptist Convention seminary. Now, it used to be maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago that when these kind of people pushing for the gay agenda inside the church, you know, you kind of expected it in some churches like the Episcopal Church at the time. You know, they have been allowing this and allowing sin in the camp, a little leaven into the loaf for a long time. And so by the early 2000s, it was no surprise when they consecrated the first openly gay bishop in the church to be the Bishop of New Hampshire, who had divorced his wife and was now living with his male lover. And we were told to thoroughly accept that because that's what we're supposed to do. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has moved in that same direction. The Presbyterian Church, USA. Now, if you disagree with gay weddings and gay clergy, you're not eligible to be ordained any longer in that denomination. But then again, Anybody who would want to be ordained there is basically allowing empty hands to be laid on an empty head. And then what's recently happened in the United Methodist Church. How many churches were lied to over the past couple of years? Churches in the United Methodist Church, from what I've read and learned, had until the end of 2023 to get out and, you know, move on with the Global Methodist Church. Now, I've got issues with them as well. I'll speak about in just a moment. But the point is that many of the local conference leaders were telling the local churches, don't worry about the big thing happening in May of 2024. It's not going to affect your church at all. You just stay right here with us. So don't leave. So they didn't. And then this postponed conference that should have happened in 2020 eventually did happen in 2024. And their entire book of discipline was turned upside down. And then churches in small town America, in places like West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, were shocked to find out that it does apply to them. And now many are discovering it's near impossible for them, their finances, and their building to get out from underneath this group. And it's causing a lot of grief for a lot of people in the United Methodist Church. I believe in many cases the lies to the people were done willingly. They lied to them knowing it was a lie, just to keep their numbers together. But what scares me now is when you look at groups like Revoice, and they're beginning to work their way into many a once solid church group. We've seen it happen before, and I'm watching it happen right before my very eyes. I see conservative church groups that if they're not careful, they're letting sin into the camp. Did a whole radio program about that several weeks ago called Sin in the Camp. You've got to be able to identify it, call it out, and demand its removal. Or you put your church, your congregation, your family, and everything around you at risk. And so, it's people like David Bennett is a hero of Revoice, and he's turned his victimhood into an art form. He stands on a pulpit, playing the part of the oppressed while peddling a counterfeit gospel. One that reeks of compromise. Pandering. Look, a man claiming he, along with the entire LGBTQ community, has been wronged by the heterosexual. And somehow, it's heterosexual Christians that are the problem with the church. You can laugh at this all you want, but the gatekeepers in some of these churches are allowing this in. And the real tragedy, this guy isn't some wounded soul. What he's doing is he's advocating another gospel that is not the gospel. He doesn't want to cross the bridge between Christ's love to leave his sin behind. He wants to camp in the middle, never yielding to Jesus Christ and demanding that you don't yield either. These are some of the false prophets that we deal with today. And we're played by them everywhere. They're on radio. They're on television. They got all their online ministries. They've got their mega church buildings. I'm not saying every mega church is wrong. Don't get me wrong on that. But there are many whose theology is damnable heresy, no matter how you cut it. And they're like a whole new virus unto themselves, working their way into congregations, Bible colleges and seminaries, and all kind of ministries and movements. They're everywhere. and the damage they are causing is immeasurable. Yet those of you that have listened for any period of time to this radio program knew this day was coming, the great falling away, the false teachers, the false Christ, the spirit of the Antichrist has already been here. It's nothing that's going to be just coming down the road. It's already here. There are countless numbers of them out there. It's easy to point out, you know, the big frauds you've seen on television and a few you've even heard on radio. You can't miss them. They're the ones that say one thing in public and do another in private. They become mega money ministries and they show it. And they're proud of their finances and how they live an opulent lifestyle. The name it and claim it word of faith bunch is one of those heresies that are out there. There's no way that I could ever illuminate you on every false preacher that's out there because they're in every community in the United States. You'll find a few. What you need to do is hone up and develop and exercise your ability to discern the true from the false and be able to recognize them on your own. The Bible teaches that we should train our powers of discernment. We are told to test the spirits. We are told to be like the Bereans, diligent students of the Word of God, and examining everything through the lens of Scripture. Discernment is our biblical safeguard against any deception. Without it, we're easy prey for the wolves who twist Scripture. Without it, you know that all of us, you'll find people that'll just, you won't know the difference when they distort the gospel and offer self-promoting paths that only lead to destruction. One of the big issues, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, is the amount of time we really spend in fellowship and in God's Word and in reading and studying the Bible. It's gone out of fashion. Everybody's looking for the shortcut DVD, instant knowledge about prophecy, instant knowledge about getting wealthy, instant knowledge on whatever. And it becomes a cottage industry. If we spent as much time in God's Word as we do watching television news, if we spent as much time in God's Word or praying or researching as we do in other forms of life entertainment, if we had a better balance. For too many people, their knowledge of Scripture, and I'm going to mention, I'll say this, a lot of people, they go to church, they claim to be believers, they go to church on Sunday, they're there for the hour or whatever it is. In a contemporary church, they go there, and some, and I've noticed this because I have visited many. Service starts, let's say, at 10:30. And then you got the, you know, the praise band and the singer doing their 5 or 6 song set or whatever it is. And people are wandering in and out for the first, you know, what, 20 some odd minutes of the service, which is all music. Then they turn the lights down low. And then somebody leads in a word of prayer. And then the guy that knows everything comes out there to, well, enthrall you with some kind of message. Nothing wrong with that. Many of the messages are good. But many of those messages are, well, just performed. I'm not going to name the company, but, you know, I'm in the ministry. And I get on all kind of strange little mailing lists. And I think I shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again in case you missed it. About 8 years ago, I visited a church in Florida for a few Sundays. It was the time that I was beginning to date the woman that I'm married to today, a widow, and I'm a widower. And we met, and I attended for a while her church. That's where we met. We met at that church. And I remember it was the beginning of a three-part series on Jonah and the big fish, you know, and the big fish, Jonah and the whale, whatever. And this church of 150, 200 people, a fairly new church plant, growing, had the multimedia stage thing going, had the projectors, it had the sound team, it had the praise band, it had the skinny jeans, it had it all. And I'm looking at these incredible videos and all of the stuff that they used up on the big screens. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's a lot of work. They must have a big staff here to do that. And I was there for the next couple of Sundays, and the message was not that bad at all. I mean, it was fairly, it was scripturally somewhat pretty accurate, but I think it lacked a little bit of depth, but that's another story. It doesn't really matter. But it was really a wonderful multimedia presentation for those that were there. Several years later, this company, and I most of the time I just kind of delete the emails, but if it catches my interest, I looked at this one. On sale, our sermon series on, it was the same exact series. This guy had just basically purchased a sermon with the videos and the slides and the sermon notes and a written version of it, and they had it on a big reduced sale. It is now, you know, it's now 90% off, so you could buy the entire three sermon series for $19.95 instead of the regular $100 and some odd. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many churches used that sermon. I wonder how many people in the church thought that that church pastor had written all this stuff down and did all this work. It's another cottage industry. I get it. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody's called to be an evangelist. Not everybody's called to be a teacher. Not everybody's called to do everything. I get it. But I think it's a little bit deceptive when you give the illusion to your congregation that you put all this stuff together. I do a lot of research, and I share material that I do purchase for this radio program. But I basically go through it and look at other sources and then deliver you my analysis on what I have found. When I preach based on what is found in God's Word and what the church has taught without compromise for 2,000 years. We need to evaluate the doctrine of a church. If there's a lack of clarity on what they're teaching, then I'd be very concerned. If they're very soft on major issues that impact the church, I'd be very weary. If they're trying to win people over but not win souls, there's a huge difference. False teachers will also distort the doctrine of the Trinity, for example. You see that occurring in certain groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and others. And those that try to add unto salvation by grace alone. You see that in a lot of groups too. You get God's grace, but you have to do this and you have to do that. And if you don't do the other, well, it's not going to work. Be careful with those that are the seeker-sensitive movement. I remember dealing with a guy like that in my work as a overseer. And he was wanting to get into all the seeker-sensitive stuff. And it was really like a concert hall, and the preaching was all about me. The guy committed suicide not that many months ago. Why? Because he also was abusing his position and abusing young children and women and kept that sin secret. And then it started to come out. If the church is relying on gimmicks and marketing strategies instead of the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, I'd be a little concerned. Listen, my voice got me through barely. I've had to pause a few times to cough, but thank you for your prayers. If you believe in our ministry, would you consider supporting us maybe today for the first time? Use our website, truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.